Sech the tainis daf yud zayin amid aleph toisir maschil v'yedea shabote avoysav kvuin lisham osur lishtos yayin v'chulei. The Gemara quotes a brisa that any kohen, even nowadays when there's no beis hamikdash, who knows that his beis av, meaning his particular subfamily of kohuna, served in the mikdash, so he's not allowed to drink wine even nowadays on certain days. If he knows exactly which beis av he's from, then he's only now allowed to drink on that particular day that he was supposed to be working in the mikdash, had we had a mikdash now. And if he just knows, broadly speaking, which mishmar he's from, then he's also the whole week that the particular mishmar would serve in the mikdash. And if he doesn't know which mishmar and which beis av he's from, then he's also the whole year. The reason, of course, for this halacha is similar to the reason why a kohen actually serving the mikdash is not allowed to drink wine, as recorded in our Mishnah, with the different details about the mishmar and the beis av, because a kohen who drinks wine is both pasul avoda, is not allowed to serve in the mikdash, and his avoda will be pasul. It's also a chiyuv misa b'dei shemayim if one does so. So the price extends it even b'zman hazeh when there's no mikdash, lest the mikdash be built and the kohen will not be able to serve. But then the Gemara quotes the position of Rebbe that, unfortunately, since the base of Mikdash hasn't been around for so long, that we no longer make this gzeira and Kohanim are allowed to drink wine. So within the view that Kohanim are not allowed to drink wine, the Tos explain that there are exceptions to the rule where the Kohen is allowed to drink wine, even in a situation where he normally would not be able to. So Tos say, Perish, meaning, Asa lishtos yayin chutz l'sudoso, that the Kohen nowadays is not allowed to drink wine outside of the meal. But to have wine in the middle of the meal, mutter, so that he's allowed to do, the yayin shebesocha su'uda ain't a mishaker. Because wine in the middle of the meal is not going to cause him to be drunk, and therefore the reason why we prevent him from drinking wine, namely that the base of mikdash might be built suddenly, and he'll be in a state of drunkenness and he won't be able to serve in the mikdash, and if he would, it would disqualify the avoda, as the Gemara points out on the next Amud. So that wouldn't apply, because if he's drinking wine in the middle of the meal, it's not going to cause him to be drunk. So here in the Oz V'Hadar, they point out that the source for this Tosfos is a teaching in the Yerushalmi, at the end of Masecht Pesachim, relevant to the night of the Seder, that the Mishnah records there that you're not supposed to drink wine between the third and the fourth cup, lest you become shikar and not be able to finish the Seder. So the Rishalmi asks, but he's already mishukar. He already had drunk wine during the meal. So why are we suddenly prohibiting from drinking wine between the third and the fourth cup? And the Rishalmi explains that wine that's drunk in the middle of the meal is not going to cause him to be drunk, is not going to cause him to become shikar. And that teaching is recorded in Shulchan Aruch by the Poskim, that there's no restriction in terms of how much wine one drinks during the meal and during the Seder, even though one is not supposed to drink between the third and the fourth cup. So Tosis is extending that teaching of the Rishalmi, which is said in the context of Seder night, to the halacha that a kohen nowadays should not drink wine, lest the mikdash be built, and he will be disqualified from avoda. And it would appear that the logic should apply even to the times of the mikdash, namely to the Torah halacha of a kohen not serving the mikdash in a state of drunkenness, that any wine that he drinks during the meal is not going to cause him to be halachically shikar, and therefore he will be able to serve in the mikdash. So some of the achronim point out this is a chiddush to apply that halacha on Seder night, that even if one would be drunk and not finish the Seder, one would not be violating chalila and iser misa b'dei shamayim. And it could already be that since after the meal we're dealing with the mitzvah of halel, which perhaps one already fulfilled to some extent by the halel that was recited before the meal, so we're not really dealing with a Torah law. But Tosfos says that no, that's a fundamental halacha, that wine that's drunk during the meal is not mishaker, both for rabbinic laws and for Torah laws. And even for chiyuvei misa b'dei shamayim, such as serving in the mikdash in a state of drunkenness, but it just doesn't cause drunkenness. Just did a little research on this. I saw that the Magen Avraham quotes from the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, that the same is true concerning Horah, that a chacham is not allowed to drink wine before he paskens the shayla, but wine that he drinks in the middle of the meal is not a problem. I also saw in the Rambam, when he records this halacha of a kohen not drinking wine with respect to the avoda, does not record this exception. Quotes other exceptions in terms of how much he's drinking, whether it's diluted with water and other particular details, but he doesn't say that wine that's drunk in the middle of the meal is not mishakir. So presumably the Rambam holds that Yerushalmi only applies for Seder night and not with respect to a kohen in the mikdash. The Mishnah quoted the halacha that the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Maimid, both the Mishmaros, the Kohanim who are serving the Mikdash, and the Anshei Maimid, the Kohanim Levim Yisraelim who are davening for the Karbonos to be accepted, Asurim L'Saper L'Chaves, they're not allowed to take a haircut or to do laundry during the week of their shift. Uvachamishi Mutarin, but on the Thursday of that week, they are allowed to take a haircut and do laundry Mipnei Kvod HaShabbos, because of the honor of Shabbos. This is similar to what discussed later in the fourth parak in terms of the Shavua Shachal Bo Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara then gives the reason for that, Kedei Shalei Yukonsu L'Mishmartim K'Sheim Menuvalin, that they shouldn't enter their shift when they're in a state of being disheveled, either as a result of the clothing being dirty or their hair being long. So Tosis is divided into two parts. First, he's explaining exactly which of those two clauses is the Gemara trying to give a reason for. Is it the Isser of the fact that they're not allowed to take a haircut any other day except for Thursday? Or is it the Heter that they're allowed to take a haircut on Thursday? That's the first part of the Tosis. And the second part of the Tosis is just to elucidate what exactly it means that they shouldn't enter the Mishmar when they are Menuvel, and how by prohibiting them to do so any other day, is that going to prevent them from entering the Mishmar in the state of Nivul? So the first part of Tosis. Pirish. My taima eina kohanim mutarim listaper ela davka v'chamishi b'shabbos. That the reason that's being given here is not to explain why there's a permit on Thursday, but why there's only a permit on Thursday, and that all of the other days are prohibited. Again, in the words of Tosis, my taima, what is the reason that Eina Kohanim Mutarim L'Staper Ela Dafka B'Chamishi B'Shabbos? Why are they only allowed to take a haircut specifically on Thursday? And the answer to that is, as the Gemara states, Kedei Shelo Yikonsul Mishmar K'Shein Menuvalin, they shouldn't enter into their shift when they are disheveled. So now Tosis explains how that's going to discourage them. Pirish, meaning, v'lo yamtino ad yom echad mimei ha-shavua haba. So they shouldn't wait until one of the days that they're actually live and they're already serving in the Mikdash or for the Anshei Maamed, davening for the Korbanos to be accepted. V'yistapru kodem she'ikonsu l'mishmeres. And therefore, they should have the motivation to take the haircut and similarly to do the laundry before they enter into that particular shift. How is that going to prevent them? Dim lo yistapru kodem, because if they don't take the effort of taking a haircut and similarly doing the laundry beforehand, yivasur and kol ha-shavua haba, they're going to be prohibited for the majority of the week, ad yom ha-chamishi, until Thursday. And no one wants to be in that state of being disheveled for so long. Maybe they'll do it Sunday or Monday. That was the original plan. But if we're going to ban them from doing it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Tosfos continue, mitoch ze, as a result of that, she'asru lesaper kol ha-shavua haba, that they banned them from taking a haircut the whole week except for Thursday. Yistapru kodem she'ikonsu l'mishmartam, that will motivate them to take the haircut and again do the laundry as well before they enter into their watch or their shift. V'lo yu menuvelim, and as a result of that, they will be in a proper state of appearance during the service of the Mikdash, either as a Kohen or as one of the people davening for the Korbanos to be accepted. This logic, of course, is very similar to the rabbinic prohibition against doing laundry and taking a haircut on Chol HaMoed, and the logic is identical, that by banning that, and no one wants to be unkempt for so long on Chol HaMoed, so this way we'll be careful to do so beforehand. Tais de Maskel, Kohen Gadol, Mestapim, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Kohen Hedjid, Echad L'Shloshim Yom. Once the Gemara is already discussing the prohibition of taking a haircut during the Mishmar, so the Gemara elaborates on when the various Kohanic figures have to take their haircuts, and as well as tangentially, when the Melech has to take his haircut. So the Dirim Maschil of Tosis already discusses two-thirds of those halachos, that the Kohen Gadol has to take a haircut from every Erev Shabbos, every Friday. The Kohen Hedjid, Echad L'Shloshim Yom, once in 30 days. So tell us to explain, is this a minimum and a maximum, or is it only a maximum? Meaning, is it that the Kohen Gadol has to take a haircut every Friday, and he cannot take it at shorter intervals, and the Kohen Hedjid has to take a haircut once every 30 days, and he cannot take it in shorter intervals? Or is it just trying to tell you that you can't grow the hair for more than a week in the case of a Kohen Gadol, and you can't grow the hair for more than 30 days in the case of a Kohen Hedjid? The Tosfos explains that the correct understanding is the latter understanding. Pirish, she'eino yachal ha'ashos yoser, that he's not allowed to wait longer. Presumably, Tosfos means to say that both on the Kohen Gadol, in terms of a week, of Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, and more than 30 days for a Kohen Hedjod. So Tosfos now points out that, at least with respect to a Kohen Hedjod, that seemingly is contradicted by the Gemara a little later on the Amud, and he points out that it's not a contradiction. In the words of Tosfos, v'hai dekomer b'samuch, Hashta dechsiv, pera lo yishalechu. And that which it says in the Gemara later, that which it says in Yechezkel, that the Kohanim are not allowed to be Mishalech Pera. Pera lo yishalechu. Pera means a state of having long hair. Lo yishalechu, meaning that they should not send it out, meaning they should not grow their hair long. So the Gemara explains, as we're going to elaborate a little more in the next Tosis, as the Tosis explains, Pirish, Pera Levi ad Shloshim Yom, that it should have that unit of Pera, which is defined as hair that grows for 30 days. As we shall see, that's derived from the Nazir. But lo yishalechu, according to the Gemara's interpretation of that pasuk in Yecheskel, that it shouldn't be more than those 30 days. In other words, that they should grow a pera, but they shouldn't have it more than that pera, meaning no more than 30 days. So Tosis is implicitly asking that at first glance, it sounds like pera lehevi, that there should be a pera, meaning even if they don't want to have it as long for 30 days, that they have to have it for 30 days. The Tosis says, no, that's not the way to read the Gemara. The two words of Tosis in explanation, im yirtze, if he wants to, meaning para levi, not para it should be, but para it may be, if he wants to. He's allowed to have a para of 30 days, but no more than 30 days, as it says, lo yishalechu. But it's not para levi that he has to have a para, but he's allowed to have a para of 30 days. So that is in accordance with what Tosa said originally. It's not logical that we should say that the Pasuk in Yechezkel is demanding that the Kohen Hedged has to have a certain shear of hair. He's allowed to take a haircut in as short intervals as he wants, but the maximum would be to wait 30 days between the haircuts. Taizdi Maschel lo lirbu klal. So to further elaborate a little bit on that which is alluded to by the previous Taizis, the Gemara quotes that the source for a Kohen Hedged having to take a haircut once in 30 days is from the Pasuk in Yecheskel that says, Pera lo yishalechu, concerning the Kohanim in the third base of Migdash. And the same halacha, the Gemara is assuming, was true in all the Bati Migdash. So the Gemara darshins from Gzeir Shava from Nazir that the Nazir is required to gadel pera sa'ar rosho. So pera first to long hair. And we learned from a pasuk of Yia, the gematria of 30, that the minimum naziris is 30 days. So since the nazir's hair is being described as gadel pera sa'ar rosho, so we see from there that 30 days is already called pera. So since the pasuk in Yecheskel tells us upera lo yishalechu, so from here we see that the Kohen Hedged is not allowed to delay his haircut more than 30 days. So the Gemara now asks, maybe we should interpret pera lo yishalechu that they shouldn't allow their hair to grow long at all. And the Gemara answers, it doesn't say lo yishalechu pera, which would imply that they're not allowed to have their hair grow long at all. It says pera lo yishalechu. And that's what we saw earlier in the previous Tosis. Pera lehevi, that they're allowed to have their hair grow long, but not too long. In the language of the Gemara, in the Havamina, lo lirbu klal, that maybe they shouldn't be able to let their hair grow long at all. So that's the Divrei Maskil of Tosis, lo lirbu klal. And Tosis explain what those words in the Gemara mean. Pirish, vafilu ad lamed yom, that they shouldn't be able to even let their hair grow for 30 days. So Tosis in the Havamin is assuming, and that's what Rashi, at least in the Girsa we have in Rashi, says explicitly, that they shouldn't allow it to grow at all, and therefore they should have to take a haircut every day, which is what the Gemara actually says about the king. They have to take a haircut every day. So Tosis points out that Havamina, if that's what lo lir buklal means, that they should have to take a haircut every day, is difficult. Vikasha is difficult. The in Cain, if it means that they have to take a haircut every day, gzeir shava de pera lamali. If so, the Gzeir Shava of Pera Pera from the Nazir, what would that be used for? As we pointed out, the way the Gemara derived that the Kohen Hedjod has to take a haircut once in 30 days is because of the Pasuk in Yecheskel that says, Ufera lo yishalechu. We make a Gzeir Shava to the Nazir, concerning whom it says, Gadel Pera Sa'ar Rosho. So, if we're making a Gzeir Shava Pera Pera, there has to be some significance to the 30 days. And if a Kohen Hedjod has to take a haircut every day, so then there's no significance to Pera, and there's no significance to the Gzeir Shava. So how could the Gemara even have a fleeting Havamina that a Kohen Hedged would have to take a haircut every day? So Tosis answer that we're misunderstanding the Gemara's Havamina of the Lir Buklal. V'yesh Lomar. And we can answer as follows. The Shema Ratza Lomar, that maybe what the Gemara means, is Lo Lirbu Ad Lamed Yom. That Lo Lirbu Klal doesn't mean that they have to take a haircut every day, but they shouldn't let it grow until 30 days, meaning Ad Velo Ad Bechlal, meaning they should be able to delay for 29 days, but not 30 days. Ella, as Tosis conclude, Yigaleach Bechavtes, that they should have to take a haircut on the 29th, and in so doing, assuring that they never get a pera. the Nazir has to have a pera, which is defined as a minimum of 30 days, as we saw before. But the Kohen Hedjot in the Havamina, the Gemara is asking that maybe he's not allowed to have a pera at all. Lo lir buklal. Meaning not to not let his hair grow at all, but not to have even a pera for a moment. Which would mean, since pera is defined as a 30-day hair growth, that he should have to take a haircut once in 29 days. So then the Gemara answers, I'm filling in, that since it says, Upera lo yishalechu, pera leve, shluchi hu delo lishalchu. Meaning that they're allowed to have a pera, they're allowed to have a growth that is called pera regarding the Nazir, namely a 30-day growth. But they can't let it grow longer, and that's indicated by the lo yishalechu. They can't let it grow for 31 days or more. In other words, 30 days, ad va'ad bechlal, they're allowed to grow, as the previous Tosas pointed out. They don't have to, but they can, but not more than that. It's interesting that in the Rashi, at least in our Girsa, Rashi seems to explain the Gemara the way Tosas understood in the Havamina. And of course, Rashi will be subject to Tosas's Kasha, as pointed out by Rabbi Sal Ranchberg in the margin. In the words of Rashi, lo lir buklal, Ella yistapru bichol yom. So they point out in the margin, the Oz of the Gemara, that perhaps is a typo in Rashi, and it shouldn't say Ella yistapru bichol yom, but rather it should say Ella yistapru bichof tesyom. The words bichol, beis chof lamid. So maybe it's a typo. Instead of the lamid, it should be a tes, bichof tesyom. And then Rashi's interpretation would align itself directly with what Tosa said, which is also implied by the Seif of Rashi, where Rashi says, "Dahachi mashma upera dahainu shloshim lo yishalechu, ela yigalechu." So it sounds like from the end of Rashi that they shouldn't have a 30-day growth, but they would be allowed to have a 29-day growth, even in the Havamin. Tosas dir maskil shluchi lo mishalchu. This is the maskana sagamara, that they're allowed to grow a pera of 30 days, but they're not allowed to have it grow more. So that's what Tosas explains, that the word shluchi lo mishalchu mean yosem yishloshim yom. More than 30 days, they're not allowed to grow their hair, but 30 days they can. Again, as the Tosas pointed out to Tosin ago, they can, they don't have to. They could take haircuts in shorter intervals, but the maximum interval is 30 days. Mesechta Tainis, Daf Yud Zayin Mabeis, Tosas Rimaschal Michlal, Derabonan Asri. The Gemara is asking why a Kohen with halachically long hair, namely more than 30 days of hair growth, why he doesn't have to take a haircut nowadays, pointed out that although Rebbe holds that in a somewhat parallel case concerning drinking wine, which also disqualifies a Kohen from serving in the Mikdash, but Rebbe held that nowadays, since the Beis HaMikdash, the way Rashi explains, takanoso kalkaloso, meaning that since the Beis HaMikdash hadn't been built for so long, so we don't have to be choshesh that the Beis HaMikdash will be built suddenly, and that the Kohen, who was in a state of drunkenness, will not be able to serve. So the Gemara was medaik, since that is the view of Rebbe, or Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Michlal, the Rabbanan Asri, and that's the Dibur Maschil of Tosis, that the Rabbanan would hold that a Kohen even nowadays would not be able to drink wine, lest the Beis HaMikdash be built suddenly, and then he will be disqualified from service. So too, shouldn't it be the case that a Kohen shouldn't be able to have hair longer than 30-day growth, lest the Beis HaMikdash, hopefully the Beis HaMikdash, will be built suddenly. So after that diuk that the Gemara makes, that the Rabbanan hold that a Kohen may not drink wine now, so the Gemara has the following line, Mai taima mehera yibana Beis HaMikdash uveinan Kohen haro'i lavoda veleka. What is the reason for that ruling of the Rabbanan? That we hope that the Beis HaMikdash will be built speedily and suddenly, and we need a Kohen who is fit for avoda, and someone who has drunk wine, veleka, is not fit for the avoda. And then the Gemara contrasts that with the Kohen who has long hair, Hacha Efsher de Mesaper Va'ayil, that here, concerning hair, it's possible for him to take a haircut and then enter the Mikdash. Unlike wine, where it will take some time for him to remove his drunken, inebriated state. So Tosfos, parallel to Rashi here, explain exactly how these various lines of the Gemara fit together, and which lines are meant to be read as part of the Kasha, and which lines are meant to be read as part of the Teretz. So Tosas reads as follows. Michlal derabanan asri. Pirish, Michlal derabanan asri lishtos yayin. That from the fact that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi holds that you're allowed to drink wine nowadays, so Michlal, that implies that the Rabbanan prohibit drinking wine nowadays. Then Tosfos continue. Mishum the Shema Yibana Beis Hamikdash Uveinan Kohen Roy Lavod Veleka, which is of course a direct paraphrase of the words of the Gemara of My Taima Mehera Yibana Beis Hamikdash Uveinan Kohen Haroy Lavod Veleka. It's clear from the presentation of Tosfos that Tosfos understood that line of My Taima Mehera Yibana Beis Hamikdash Uveinan Kohen Haroy Lavod Veleka, which Tosfos paraphrased as Mishum the Shema Yibana Beis Hamikdash Uveinan Kohen Roy Lavod Veleka, meaning that the reason why the Rabbanan ban a Kohen from drinking wine nowadays is because lest the Beis Hamikdash be built speedily in our days, and we need a Kohen who is fit to serve, and a Kohen who has drunk wine is not fit to serve, namely Veleka, and we wouldn't have his state of being able to serve in the Mikdash, he will be puzzled. So Tosfos understood that line of My Taima as being part of the Kasha that Michlal the Rabbanan Asri, that the Rabbanan prohibited because of the possibility of the Mikdash being built soon, and therefore the Kohen cannot be in a state of having drunk wine, and that's the end of the Kasha of the Gemara, so why don't we say the same thing concerning hair, that a Kohen shouldn't be able to have long hair, lest the base of Mikdash be built suddenly. So then Tosfos continue, Mishani, and then the Gemara answers, Efshir de Mesaper v'ayil, that it's possible for the Kohen to take a quick haircut and then enter the Mikdash, unlike wine, which will take some time for him to become back to a sober state. So it's clear from Tosfos that, again, it understands the line of My Taima Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash as part of the Kasha of Michlal the Rabbanan Asri, namely that the Rabbanan prohibit it because of the possibility of the Beis HaMikdash being built speedily. Prohibit it, meaning drinking wine, nowadays, and the same should apply for haircuts. It's clear from Rashi that he understood the line of My Taima Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash not as part of the Kasha from the Rabbanan, but rather as part of the Teretz. The second Rashi on the page reads, Umishani, meaning the Gemara answers for this Kasha of Michlal the Rabbanan Asri, that the Rabbanan prohibit drinking wine, so too they should prohibit long haircuts nowadays. So Rashi now understands all the rest of the lines that Tosfos comment on as being part of the answer. Rashi's words are, Umishani, my time of chule, v'hocha chule. My time of being an introduction to the line concerning Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, and V'hacha, referring to the line of Efshe de Mesaper V'ayil, meaning that it's possible for the Kohen to take a haircut. And Rashi elaborates, My Taima Teirutzahu. It's all part of the answer. Kolomar, meaning, the Taima Mai Goz Rabbanan B'yayin. Why did the rabbis prohibit wine? Shemi Yabanachule, meaning, lest the base of Mikdash be built speedily, and then the Kohen will be puzzled. Aval, however, Gabi Purui Rosh, concerning Kohanim who didn't take a haircut, Lo Gozru, they didn't make that decree. The Efshe de Mistaper Miyad, because it's possible for him to take a haircut right away. Other Ayel of Beis HaMikdash, and subsequently will be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash, Lavoda, for the purpose of the divine service. So according to Rashi, we read those lines together, My Taima Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, together with Hocha Efshe de Mistaper Ayel, as part of the Teretz, meaning that it's true that the rabbis prohibited drinking wine. What is the reason that they prohibited drinking wine? Not stam that since a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine when the Beis HaMikdash was around, so too he's not allowed to drink wine now. But rather, he's not allowed to drink wine now, lest the Beis HaMikdash be built speedily in our days, and then he's not going to be able to come sober on time, and he'll be posel avoda. But that very reason that led the Rabbanan to ban a Kohen from drinking wine nowadays would not lead them to hold that a Kohen cannot leave his hair grow long more than 30 days, because that's possible to correct immediately if the Beis HaMikdash would be built, because he could always take a haircut. So according to Rashi, the line of My Taima Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash is part of the answer. According to Tosfos, My Taima Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash was part of the Kasha, and that the Teretz begins at the line Hocha Efshe de Mesaper V'ayil, concerning the possibility of the haircut being taken right away, as opposed to wine, which cannot be eliminated right away. Somewhat of a technical difference as to how to put the two parts of the Gemara together, but ultimately winding up in the same place. It's interesting that there's a parallel sugya to this in Sanhedrin, Nachav Beis and Mebeis, and there the girsa that appears in the Gemara is not My Taima Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, but Hainu Taima. Not what is the reason, which is our girsa, which could either lend itself to be in accordance with Rashi's pshat that it's part of the answer, or Tosfos's pshat that it's part of the kasha, but rather hainu taima means that's the reason, meaning that that always introduces an answer that don't concern yourself about the rabbi's prohibition concerning wine, because hainu taima, that reason concerning wine is not relevant to the issue of haircutting. So that Gersa Masechta Sanhedrin would tend to verify Rashi's understanding that it's part of the Teretz rather than Tosis's understanding that it's part of the Kasha. Within the explanation of why the Rabbanan hold that the Kohanim nowadays also are not allowed to drink wine, so the Gemara pointed out, we need Kohanim who are fit to serve in the Mikdash, and you wouldn't have that if they're in a state of drunkenness, even nowadays, if the Mikdash is built quickly. So now Tosa asks a side question, that how is it going to help to have the Kohanim be sober, or even have them take haircuts once in 30 days, but there's a major problem of Tumah, and Tomar. Tosis ask, Valo Belo Yayin, Nami Asurim Bavoda. Even without wine, they're still prohibited to serve in the Mikdash, the Tamei Mesim Ninu, because all the Kohanim are Tamei Mes, whether they went to funerals for close relatives, or just the fact that we don't have a clear Mesorah on where the graves are, and since we haven't been keeping the laws of Tumah V'Tara so stringently for so many years, so we consider everyone to be Tamei Mes. U'tzrichan Azog Gimel V'Zayin, and they need the sprinkling of the Paraduma, ash and water, on the third and seventh day. So they're not Royal Avoda anyway, and they're going to have a period of preparation. So for that period of becoming tar, v'amai asri luhiyayin, so why are you prohibiting the wine? They could already become sober, and I'm just adding the same thing concerning the haircuts, even if you wouldn't have the tirutzim that the Gemara gives for haircuts. The Tos gives the famous answer, quoted by the Gemara elsewhere, v'yishlomar demikol mokom mutarin bavoda sibor, t'toma hotra b'tzibor. That even though they won't be able to bring private karbanos, but they will be mutar in the communal service of the Tmidim and the Musafim and the Avoda Sibor, because of the famous principle elucidated in Psachim and elsewhere, the Toma Hutra B'Tzibor, that when the majority of Klal Yisrael, the majority of the Kohanim, are Tamei, so then one is allowed to serve in the Mikdash and bring Korbanos in a state of Tuma. Because the Tosfos, the Yamasla Shisui Yayin, even though it appears later on the page, really belongs right here in the order of the Gemara, it's curious that the editions of the Gemara didn't flag this, even though they normally do so when a Tosis is out of order. So we're going to do that Tosis now, in preparation for the next Tosis, which is actually going to build off of that. Tosis de Maschil Shesui Yayin de Mechali Avoda. A second teretz the Gemara gives for why, even according to the Rabbanan, who ban Kohanim from drinking wine nowadays, even absent the Mikdash, lest the Mikdash be built soon, but we don't make a similar requirement that a Kohen should have to take a haircut once in 30 days. So the first answer was because you could take a haircut pretty soon if the Mikdash is built, but one is not going to necessarily be able to become sober so soon. And the second answer is, in the name of Ravashi, that Shesui Yayin, the Mechali Avoda, Gozrubu Rabbanan, whereas Prue Rosh, the Lo Mechali Avoda, Lo Gozrubu Rabbanan. Namely, that since Kohanim who drank wine, their avoda will be disqualified, all the karbanos they brought will be disqualified. So therefore they made a decree that even Kohanim nowadays, absent the Mikdash, should also not drink wine, lest when the Mikdash is built, they serve and disqualify the avoda. In contrast, Kohanim will have long hair, that even if b'di'eved, worst comes to worst, they do serve, even though they're not allowed to. It's even a chiv misa b'dei shemayim, but since the korbanos they bring will not be pasul, so they didn't make a gzeira against him. So two things need to be explicated here. One is the source, for how do we know that shesuya yayin, Kohanim who drink wine, disqualify the korbanos that they bring? And number two, how do we know that prui rosh, Kohanim with long hair, do not disqualify the korbanos that they bring? So the Tosfos we're currently doing, the Divrei Maschil Shesui Yayin, the Mechali Avoda, explains the first. And the Tosfos we'll do next, as we said, we're doing it somewhat out of order on the order of the Tosfos and on the page, following the order of the Gemara. The Divrei Maschil Prui Rosh, the Lo Mechali Avoda, is going to explain how we know that Kohanim with long hair do not disqualify Avoda. So we start our Tosfos. Shesui Yayin, the Mechali Avoda, Pirish. How do we know that the Kohanim who drink wine are going to disqualify the service? Dechsev yain v'shecher al teish v'gomer, and right next to it, lahavdil bein hakodesh uvein hachol, which is further elaborated by Rashi that in Parsha Shmini the Torah states yain v'shecher al teish, that a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine, and right next to that phrase, it says, Ulahavdil bein hakodesh uvein hachol, and to separate from the holy and the mundane. So on that, there's a drasha in the Gemara in Zvachim, Yitzayin and Mebeis, Bein Avoda Kedosha Lemecholeles, Bein HaKodesh, to a holy service that is kosher, to an Avoda that is profaned, meaning that is disqualified. So next to the prohibition of drinking wine, the Torah says, Ulahavdil Bein HaKodesh Ovein HaChol, implying that if one drank wine, the Avoda goes from being Kodesh to being Chol, meaning to being Mecholeles. We now return to the printed order of the Tosis on the page. The Tosis just explains, how do we know that a Kohen with long hair does not disqualify the Avoda? And he does so by showing that the Drusha that tells you that a Kohen who drank wine does disqualify the Avoda, that type of Drusha doesn't appear regarding a Kohen with long hair. Rashi says something similar, but in a much briefer way. So now we begin the Tosfos. Pirish. Now the Bach takes the parentheses of Dvar Torah, which is at the end of Tosfos, and sticks it in over here, that's where it belongs. Pirish Dvar Torah. That min haTorah, someone who has long hair is not going to disqualify the Avoda. Delo ksiv b'samuch ulahavdil v'gomer. What Tosfos is driving at is that concerning Kohanim who drank wine, or Shisuya Yayin, the drusha that disqualifies them, as elaborated by the Tosfos we mentioned earlier, Divya Maschil Shisuya Yayin de Mechale Avoda, which appears two Tosfos in from now, which we are already elaborated on before this Tosfos, is that since it says Yayin V'Sheichar Al Teish, the prohibition for Kohanim not to drink wine, right next to the words Ulahavdil Bein HaKodesh Uvein HaChol, that indicates, as Tosfos mentioned, that a Kohen who drinks wine is pasul avoda, and the service that he does, the korbanos that he brings, are disqualified. But concerning the prohibition of a kohen serving the mikdash with long hair, which is derived from the pasuk in Yechezkel of Ufera lo yishalechu, it does not say next to it, as Tosfos says, loksiv b'samoch, it does not say next to it, ulahavdil bein hakodesh uvein hachol. If we accept the Bach's girsa, it sounds like that the avoda is at least pasul derabanan for a pruei rosh, because Tosfos has the line Pirish Dvar Torah, unless we don't have the Girsa, or unless it's not to be read Dafka. The Rambam records that a Kohen who serves in the Mikdash in a drunken state disqualifies the Avoda, but with long hair does not disqualify the Avoda, not Minatara, not Midarabanan. So, Ktsas Sarachi and that Girsa of Dvar Torah in Tosfos, what that is meant to aid. Tosfos Maschil, Dovizem, Mitoras Moshe, Lolamadnu. So the Gemara, in trying to show that Yechezkel Hanavi cannot invent a halacha of a Kohen having long hair and not being able to serve in the Mikdash. So the Gemara points out that we have a similar parallel to Arelus. That's the Divrei Maschil of Tosfos, that Dover Zeh Mitoras Moshe Lo Lamadnu, nowhere in the Torah does it say that an Orel, an uncircumcised Kohen, cannot serve in the Mikdash. But in Yechezkel, it tells us, Erel Lev, Erel Basar, Lo Yovo Mikdashi, the one uncircumcised of heart, meaning a sinner, or one uncircumcised of flesh, meaning someone who's not mahol, who's orel, may not serve in the mikdash. So the Gemara quotes Rav Chista, who points out, this halacha of an orel being posel for avoda is not recorded in the Torah, and it's recorded in the Kabbalah, meaning in Divrei Nevi'im, Yechezkel recorded it. So the Gemara asks, until Yechezkel came along, where did the halacha come from? Yechezkel can't invent halacha. And then the Gemara explains that originally it was halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, and then Yechezkel merely recorded it in a text. So too, we'll say the same analysis concerning a Kohen who has long hair. That originally it was halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, and then Yechezkel came along and recorded that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim in a text. So Tosfos says the following kashan. Why do we need the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, or the pasuk in Yechezkel, to tell us that an orel is pasul avoda? Let's learn it from a Kal v'chomer. In Tomar, Tosfos asks, Neilef mi Kal v'chomer, what is the Kal v'chomer? As follows. Uma bal mum, shemuter b'achilas kochin. If even a Kohen with a mum, who's allowed to eat karbonis, even though he's puzzled to serve in the mikdash, but he's allowed to eat karbonis. And how do we know that? Kiddedar shinan v'msechta kiddushin, as we derive in v'msechta kiddushin, perakish mekadesh, in the second perak, tafnun gimel amir aleph. From the verse, v'chol menchas machavas v'chol macheshes, referring to the menachos, la kohanim yiyeh ish keachiv. To the kohanim, meaning all the kohanim, a man like his brother, including a Baal Mum, even those Kohanim who are disqualified from serving the Mikdash, but they still are able to eat the Menachos, and similarly the other Karbonos. Va'afilu achi, continuing the first part of the Kal v'chomer, nevertheless, Baal Mum, osir lavod avoda. Nonetheless, a balmum, a coin with a defect, is not allowed to serve in the mikdash. Orel, she aser v'achilas kachim, an uncircumcised coin who is not allowed to eat karbonis. And where do we get that from? Totos quotes that from a different gemara, the Darshinan Perka Orel, as we derive in Masech Yivam is Perka Orel. Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, Bixera Shava from Bixera Shava, Toshav v'sachir mi Pesach, the Orel aser bo. That just like it explicitly states concerning a carbon Pesach that an Orel may not partake of it. So too, concerning Kachim, where it says, Toshav v'sachir lo yochal bo, meaning, the avodim ivrim of a Kohen may not partake of the Kachim. And since it also states the same with respect to Pesach, that Toshav v'sachir lo yochal bo, although there the words Toshav v'sachir does not refer to the Eved Ivri, because the Eved Ivri actually is chayiv in Korban Pesach. That's the Gemara in Zevachim that discusses what it actually means there. But the bottom line is that we have Gzeira Shava, similar words concerning Korban Pesach and concerning the eating of Kachin. Over there we derive that just like Korban Pesach cannot be partaken of by an Orel, so too an Orel cannot eat Karbonis. So, we're wrapping up the Kal V'chomer. Ain't no din she'asr la'voda. Is it not a Kal V'chomer that he's prohibited to serve in the Mikdash? Again, to repeat the Kal V'chomer quickly without all the drushes. If even a Baal Mum who has a Kula that he's allowed to eat Karbonis, nonetheless, he has a Chumrah that he's not allowed to serve in the Mikdash. So an Orel, who's more severe, is more chamur, Kal V'chomer, is more severe, that he's not allowed to even partake of Karbonis, to all the more so should he have the Chumrah, the stringency of not being able to serve in the Mikdash. It's a classic model of a Kal V'chomer. If there's a Chumrah in even a relatively Kal Din, then all the more so should there be a Chumrah in the relatively Chumrah Din. The Baal Mum is the relatively Kal Din because the Baal Mum is allowed to eat Karbonis. The Orel is the relatively severe Din, the Chomer Din, because the Orel is not allowed to eat Karbonis. So then why Tosfos asks, do we need a Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai or a Pasuk in Yecheskel to teach us that an Orel is Pasul Avoda? Let's learn it from a Kal V'chomer from the Baal Mum. So an introduction to the two Terutzim of Tosfos, to this Kasha, just a brief review of the two types of kashas that can be asked in order to break a Kal V'chomer. One is called a Pircha, which we refer to as an internal kasha, and one is called a Yochiach, which we can refer to as an external kasha. A Pircha is showing that which you thought was really a Din Kal, and what you thought is really a Din Chomer, is not as it seems. So it's not a Kal V'chomer after all. The second model of kasha on a Kal V'chomer is a Yochiach, that, again, the model of a Kal V'chomer is that if there's a Chumrah, even in a relatively Kal Din, so all the more so should there be a Chumrah in a Chomer Din. So in demonstrating that one Din is Kal and one Din is Chomer, so we use a certain halacha. In the example at hand, we spoke about a Chilas Kachim. To demonstrate that a Baal Mum is a Kal Din, relatively, we show that he's allowed to eat Kachim. And to demonstrate that an Orel is a relatively Chomer Din, we demonstrated that he's not allowed to eat Kachim. So Yochiach is pointing out that the lack of ability to eat kachim, even though that particular halacha does seem to indicate a degree of stringency, that it's a din chamur, nonetheless, we prove from another halacha that that particular chumrah, in this case the idea of not being able to eat kachim, does not generate the other stringency, in this particular instance, of the avoda being psula, or the particular person being disqualified to serve in the mikdash. The fact that there's another din that has the stringency in question, and nonetheless doesn't have the other stringency that we're trying to prove, is mochiach, that's the term yochiach, that one stringency does not necessarily generate the other. The specific application of that we'll see in the answer of Tosfos. So Tosfos' first answer is the second model of how we ask on a Kal V'chomer, the Yochiach. And again, the basic model is going to show that that idea of the inability to eat Kachim does not necessarily generate the other stringency of the person being Pasul Avoda. Yesh Leimar, say Tosfos, the Chol Yochiach. Chol will serve as a proof that it is not the case that anyone who does not eat Kachim automatically is disqualified from Avodas HaMikdosh. She'ainu ochel b'kachim. We know that a cholel, namely a kohen, who is a product of a prohibited kohanic marriage, a kohen hedjid who married a grusha, or a kohen gadol who married a grusha or an almana, or other women that are prohibited to them, She'ain ochel b'kachim. He's not allowed to eat karbonas. He's considered like a non-kohen with respect to that. V'afilo ochel, nevertheless, kosher lavoda. He's kosher for serving the mikdash. Yuchid Omar perka omer, as it says in the third perk of Kiddushin. Daf samach vav and beis. Kedichsiv. Borech Hashem chelo ufol yod of tirtza. The bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu to Shevet Levi, that Hashem should bless his host ufol yod of tirtza. And the acts of his hand, you will desire, will be favorable in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And from there we derive the mashma that implies ufol yod of tirtza, that the pol yod of the handiwork of the Kohanim will find favor in Hashem's eyes. The mashma filo chulin shavo who wrote sebavodoso. That even the halalin, the ones who are profane from kahuna, Hashem still desires their service. A drush on the word, bereich Hashem chelo ufol yod of tirtza, that Hashem is rotze in the handiwork of even the chelo, in addition to the pshuto, meaning the hosts, the group of Kohanim, but the chulin shavo. So, such a Kohen, a cholol, the service is kosher. I point out, parenthetically, lechatchila, a cholol may not serve in the mikdash. This is a halacha b'dieved, that the avoda is not mechulelet, ex post facto. But lechatchila, it cannot serve in the mikdash. But bottom line, at least b'dieved, the service is kosher. So what do we see from there? We see from the cholol model that factor of not being able to eat kachim does not automatically imply that one is going to be posel avoda. When we made the kal v'chomer from the Baal Mum to the Orel, we wanted to say that since the Orel is chomor in the sense that he's not able to eat kachim, that is automatically going to generate the din that he's not going to be able to serve in the mikdash. And the cholol serves as a model that chomra of not being able to eat kachim does not necessarily imply that you're not allowed to serve in the mikdash, because the cholol, although the chachila is not allowed to serve in the mikdash, but his avoda is at least kosher for the avid. So to the RL, so his avoda should also be kosher. Perhaps we could suggest that Tosis is pointing out that at least the RL's avoda should be kosher b'dieved, because the cholol, as we pointed out, is certainly possible l'chatchila. So if we're using the cholol as a model that someone who is not a lead kachim, nonetheless, his avoda is kshera, and we're going to extend that over to an orel, so we wouldn't be able, presumably, to extend it over to an orel that an orel's avoda would be kosher l'chachila. It should be no better than the chol. So presumably, Tosis means that at least let the orel's avoda be kshera b'dieved, and of course, that's not true, because the orel's avoda is posel even b'dieved. So that's what Tosis points out, that the kal v'chomer would be invalid from the Baal Mum to the orel, because the chol would ruin the kal v'chomer based on the logic of Yuchiach. Now Tosus has an alternate answer, not with the model of a Yochiach, but rather the model of a Pircha, where internally the Kal V'Chomer is destroyed by showing that Balmum, with respect to Orel, is not as Kal, and the Orel is not as Chomer as you think. Inami, Tosus answers that the Kal V'Chomer is not a valid one. Mi Balmum lo motzi yalif. We cannot learn from the Balmum as being the Kal here. The Ikal Mifrich, because one could ask the Pircha, Mala Balmum, Shekain Osu Bo Kraven Kimakrivim. That the Balmum is not as Kal as you think. How so? Shekain Osu Bo Kraven Kimakrivim. Because the Kravim, which is a passive form, meaning the karbonos, the animals that are brought, have the same halacha as the makrivim. The makrivim are the ones who offer the animals, meaning the kohanim. Now what does it mean that the kravim are like makrivim? So Tosis explain. Shekola kravim psulim, all animals are disqualified. The bach is in a kuf. Kishahim bale mumim, when they are bale mumim, kamo makriv, just like the kohen who offers the carbon. Meaning, we're considering a bale mum to be a kal by virtue of the fact that he cannot eat karbanos. But on the other hand, the bale mum is a chomor, it's a chomor dekadin. In what sense is it a chomor dekadin? Is it a severe din? Because not only are the kohanim posel having a physical blemish, but even the animals that kohanim have to offer are also possible when they have a mum, as outlined in Parshas Emor, where it describes the mumim of of animals and the mumim of Kohanim. So now Tosis winds up the Pircha. Tomar ba'orel shelo osabo kraven kemakriven. So can the Baal Mum serve as a kal with respect to the orel, which is a chomur, and hence serve as a model of the fact that just as the Baal Mum is possible avoda, so all the more so Should the Arel be Pasul Avoda? But with respect to the Arel, Shelo Asavo Kraven Kemakrivim, the Arel is not as chomor as the Balmum with respect to that halacha. How so? That the Kraven, meaning the Korbanos, don't have a halacha of Orla, Kemakrivim, like the Kohanim have a halacha of Orla. As Tosis explained, the Ma'arelus Shayach Bevehema. What kind of uncircumcised state is relevant to an animal? There's no such thing as an Arel with respect to an animal. So, of course, an Arel for an animal is totally kosher for a carbon. There's no such thing as an Arel or a mohal by an animal. It's only the kohen, the makriv, not the karev. The makriv is possible as an Arel. So in sum, we thought that a Baal Mum is kal because he can eat karbonis, and that an Arel is chamor because he cannot eat karbonis. So here with this pircha, we're showing that from a different perspective, the Baal Mum is chamor because that concept of mum is relevant not only to the makriv, but also to the karev, not only to the kohen, but also to the karbon. But the concept of orel, which we originally thought was chamor in the sense that he cannot eat karbonis, but in a certain sense, he's a kal with respect to the baal mum, because arelus is only relevant to the makriv and not to the karev. In other words, arelus is a more limited kind of din. Mum is a more expansive kind of din. And hence, the baal mum cannot serve as a source to teach us the din of Psul Avoda to the Arel. So both through a Yochiach in the first Teretz of Tosis and through a Pircha in the second Teretz of Tosis, Tosis destroyed the Kal V'chomer. And if we destroy the Kal V'chomer, which attempted to teach that an Arel may not serve in the Mikdash, so we need a Halach L'Moshe Mesinai to teach you that, ultimately to be recorded by the Navi Yechezkel. We skip the next Tosis concerning Shisui Yayin because we already did it earlier in conjunction with the Tosis concerning Perui Rosh. The Gemara records several of the holidays that are written in Megillas Tainis and analyzes them. So the first holiday in the first month is from Rosh Chodesh till the eighth day. It's the holiday that commemorates and celebrates when they were able to establish the proper halachas of the Korban Tamid. What does that mean? So both Rashi and Tosis quote, Pirish, Kedemepharish, from Megillas Tainis, as explained in Megillas Tainis, on the margin they point out, it's also a Gemara Menachis, Tav Samach Emer Aleph, Shehoyu HaBaisusim Omrim, Sheyochid Misnadev Tamid, that even an individual can donate the carbon Tamid. It doesn't have to be brought necessarily from communal funds. And their source was the Pasuk, Mishim Dichsiv Taaseh, the full context in the parsha of the Korban Tamid is a keves achod ta'aseh baboker, which is in the singular. Ta'aseh mashma yochid. Sounds like an individual is bringing it, meaning is paying for it. And the prushim, those loyal to the Masorah, were able to disprove the baisusim by responding to them, v'hadri lehu, that later on in that same parsha it says, it's korbani lachmi lishai tishmeru lakriv, that you should be careful to bring that korban. Literally, you should be careful to offer my carbon, my bread, for my fire offerings, Loshen Rabim, Tishmeru, in the plural. So the Tishmeru of the plural would inform that earlier, when it says Taseh, also means in the plural. Seems to be somewhat of a little bit of a girsa problem in Tosis, because Tosis quotes that it was the Baisusim who claimed that the Yochid has the ability to pay for the carbon Tamid. Rashi has the girsa of Tzidukim, which is actually the girsa we have both in the Megillas Tainis and in the Gemara Menachos, Taf Samach Ayamar Aleph. So either it's a girsa problem in Tosis, or Tosis had a different girsa in the Megillas Tainis.